Podcasting from the beautiful Mile High City, you're listening to the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling, the undisputed leader in no-holds-barred, catch-as-catch-can wrestling. Here's your host, Jake Shannon.
Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling, the leader in no holds barred catch as catch can wrestling. I'm your host, Jake Shannon. Super stoked to have Gilbert Olivas with us out of Black Flag Jiu-Jitsu Club in Arizona for a number of reasons. One, Gilbert came across my radar. He came to he's come to some of our camps. And he really gutted it out, and because they could be pretty tough, he gutted it out. He had a kick-ass competition last weekend where he took away the gold. And then I also want to talk about his path at catch wrestling, because he is working with us, but he's also works with some other guys that I know pretty well. So without further ado, I want to bring on Gil. Gil, are you there?
I am here, man. I appreciate you having me on the podcast. I'm really excited.
Well, listen, man. I mean, I'm just living vicariously because I don't know how old you are, but I'm 45 and my body's shot and I can't do this shit anymore. So to see an older grappler go in there like yourself and just kick ass and represent was really awesome. It was so, I was really stoked to see that.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I'll be 36 here in just a few months, man. I'm still feeling good enough to go at it for a while.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit and tell everybody listening about the event. What was the name of it and, you know, your opponent and what were the rules, that kind of thing?
Oh, perfect. All right. So the event itself was called the West Valley Rumble. So it was the first of its kind here in Phoenix that was made organically through an organization that's here in Phoenix. And it was actually promoted by an MMA company or MMA promotion called Ringside United. And they were using jiu-jitsu as the standard for rank, you know, trying to match up guys based on their jiu-jitsu rank. And as a jiu-jitsu black belt, I had accepted a match with another jiu-jitsu black belt. But I had told these guys very early on that I wanted to come in representing catch wrestling. So I made sure that they kept plugging that notion in. And I was really trying to make the sell as catch wrestling versus Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you know, because I was hoping it would be, if not more of a draw, definitely more of an awareness to catch wrestling. So I pushed for modified rules as hard as I could to allow for essentially any submission, you know, because there, you know, jiu-jitsu certainly has its limitations.
Nice.
After throwing enough of a tantrum, I was able to get these guys to basically add any and all submissions, you know, face locks, neck cranks, you know, any leg lock, you know, you name
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, no holds barred.
Absolutely. You know, the only thing that we couldn't do is just full on slamming each other, which I guess I was okay with too. So I ended up doing that match, man, and I fought a pretty talented guy who's a little bit older than myself, man, but he's been in the game probably twice as long as me. And it took me a while to kind of get him where I wanted because, you know, all respect to the guy, but he definitely was playing the perimeter of the cage and kind of keeping his distance. But once I was finally able to get hands on him, man, I just, you know, a quick double wrist lock and, you know, not even 10 seconds later, it was done and over with.
Nice. So. Nice. And so, and you run a club down in the Phoenix area, the Black Flag Jiu-Jitsu Club, right?
Yeah. We're just outside of Phoenix. We're in Glendale, Arizona. We've been in Phoenix for most of our existence. We recently moved into downtown Glendale, which is, again, just west of Phoenix, and we are the largest school that teaches catch wrestling on a regular basis here.
Yeah, and so you not only you know you're in our coaching program, coaching catch, but then you also you've gotten work with actually kind of a graduate from our program, John Potenza, as well, right? So you work a lot with old school grappling.
I do actually. I initially had gotten my start officially with. With Snake Pit USA, and I was able to get a couple of different certifications and do a few coaches camps with them.
Okay.
And then when Old School Grappling was founded, I followed John Potenza. He happens to be here in Arizona, just about an hour and a half north of here. So I just did what was the most convenient and made the most sense. I had a lot more interaction with him, you know, with all kinds of love to Joel, and he's an excellent coach, and I love the guy. But, you know, John.
Well, I mean, it was probably easier for them when they were together in the, you know, in New Jersey together. And then, you know, I know that I remember when John moved out to Arizona, he was so excited to get out there and get a change of scene. And he's done really fantastic. He's made real good headroads for catch wrestling in kind of that, in the Arizona territory.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was no catch wrestling out here before John came out here. And, you know, he's definitely planted some seeds, man, and they're growing. And I would like to say that, with old school grappling, since he started in that endeavor, and again, I was right alongside him when he did it. You know, I've really tried my hardest to make my academy the premier academy in the Phoenix area for catch wrestling, and I've done it with some success, and it definitely wouldn't have gotten that without the guidance and the help of John Potenza, for sure.
Yeah, I've got a list of people that I'm going through to try to get on the show, and definitely John and Joel are on that list, because they both came up under Billy through our program, and did well. I mean, there weren't a lot of people that made it through, because Billy was pretty fucking demanding, and they've maintained that standard, which I think is the most important thing. You know, they put their own spin on it, they've got their own flavor, which is also important, but they've maintained that, like, integrity, which is really, really important to me. But the other day I saw you post something, and that's what really caught my eye, that you've also worked out with an old friend of mine, CC Starr.
Oh, yeah, man. So, like, CC very first introduced me to catch wrestling, and I was just a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, man. I'd maybe had 2 years in.
So what year is this? Give me a year.
Okay, so we're talking like 2010. Like that's around the time I got my blue belt.
Okay.
And he had been talking about catch wrestling. He was actually doing some really early morning jiu-jitsu with me. He was just trying to get himself in shape. You know, we would do some conditioning, some training, and when we would roll, he would put me in these really, really, you know, fucked up position. And I, you know, and back then I was like, hey, that's illegal, you can't do that. He was like, no, you're not understanding, there's a lot more to grappling than jiu-jitsu. And so then he started, you know, showing me things like the gravit, and, you know, really how to crank down on the double wrist lock, and just, you know, really just getting heavy on the pins. And CC, he's not a little dude, man. So like,
no, he's a big dude.
When he's putting pressure on you, you feel like he's taking your soul. And so my initial response to catch wrestling was a negative one. You know, I was so brainwashed by what I thought the jiu-jitsu lifestyle was supposed to be, that I didn't like it. I didn't like it until I needed to apply it in competition. And then when I knew I was going to be fighting bigger guys, I asked him for help. And then he came to the rescue, started teaching me again in about 2014. And then that's when I really, my eyes were open, and I realized that there's this whole other side to submission fighting that is made available to me. And so he really laid the groundwork for me to want to be a catch wrestler. And he gave me that base, and it was well enough to where when I was introduced to Snake Pit USA, that I really had a huge foot in and a heads up, like the terminology and just the philosophy of catch wrestling. I wasn't great with it by any means, but I didn't come in blind either, you know? So it felt really good to finally feel like this is where I belong. And I definitely would attribute that to the tutelage of CC Starr, for sure. And he still comes around, man. Like he'll show you. I'm sitting right next to his wrestling shoes right underneath my desk. he leaves his shit here, and he'll come through just randomly, and he'll decide he's going to just twist me up. And it's great, because, you know, in my academy, I'm kind of the top dog until you got this guy who looks like just this big harmless teddy bear coming through and just lifting me off the ground with no effort and cranking the crap out of me.
Yeah, he's great. I met him, man. I had to have met him. This has to be 2000, man, I don't know. It's like right around 2000-ish at a Cauliflower Alley banquet. And I was trying to sell scientific wrestling stuff at the Cauliflower Alley Club. And he came up and he was like, oh my God, what? You're actually selling this kind of thing? And he was so excited. So we became really good friends, and I've known him for forever. So that was really, really cool to hear that you'd worked with him, because he's a pro wrestler, for people that don't know. I'm curious, though, from your perspective, like, you know, like most people that come to catch wrestling, most people, not everyone, but most people come in from jiu-jitsu because that's their first exposure. It's like they get their feet wet. For you, like, what do you think? Because, you know, one, you've had the personal experience of being a jiu-jitsu guy and then adding catch-as-catch-can to your repertoire. You're a competitor, and you're a gym owner. So how, I mean, for people who maybe are on the jiu-jitsu side and haven't dipped their toes in, I mean, you know, what are the hurdles? How do you, how in your experience do you find that you get people to kind of get over it and be like, okay, I mean, because, you know, there's a million different hurdles, right? Some people associate it with phony pro wrestling because it does apply not just to competitive grappling, but to exhibition grappling. You know, sometimes people think it's nasty or dirty, or what's your experience with all that?
Okay, so there's a couple of different areas of that I could probably address. I would say first, as a business owner, I would address the business aspect of that, because what it's done is it's created a niche for me in a really saturated market. So jiu-jitsu is everywhere. There's probably 40 or 50 jiu-jitsu academies in the Metro Phoenix area.
Wow.
And again, there's only one that I'm aware of that is teaching catch wrestling at the level that it is. So I got guys that might have seen catch wrestling on YouTube or heard it somewhere. And when they go to look, you know, we're the top hit on the internet for that here. So I got guys that are coming in just to learn that, you know, they're familiar with jiu-jitsu. You know, they might've seen a documentary, watched something, or maybe done a few classes somewhere, but they're like, hey, I want to learn because that sounds different. You know, that sounds more aggressive. That sounds like it's not jiu-jitsu, and it isn't. So, we've gotten a lot of retention just through having catch wrestling as an option here. But now when we're talking about the non-business side of that, let's say just in grappling in general, at least, you know, with versus my competitors, you know, from other business owners and things like that, you know, it is in the jiu-jitsu community, sometimes it's a little bit of a hard sell, although our reputation at my academy is for being, you know, aggressive grapplers, or, you know, maybe even brutes. People will try to downplay catch wrestling like it's not as technical, or it's not as fancy or not as effective, or, you know, things like that, because we're not sitting there doing barambolos and shit like that. No, like, you know, we're looking for the pin, we're looking for the pressure, we're looking for the submission.
Right.
And so I've had students come from other academies that have, you know, jumped ship to Black Flag, and they'll tell me, oh yeah, my old coach said that, you know, as long as I can stay calm, catch wrestling won't work, you know, because it's all about the power of the mind. And I'm like, well, you think that until you're getting the shit cranked out of you for sure. You know, like, yeah, like I'm going to face lock you and twist your neck because, you know, there's no rule that says that I can't do that in catch wrestling. And so what we try to do is our motto here is hybrid grappling.
Yes.
So we try to implement as much of the gray area of jiu-jitsu as possible by implementing as much catch wrestling as we can based on the rules of whatever it is that we're doing. And as a result, we've won in the last 12 months, we've won 9 or 10 team trophies. And I have created multiple gold medalist champions at the world level, national level, regional and local level. So it fucking works, man. This stuff it's brutal. And when you know how to apply it to whatever else you're doing, whether we're doing judo or wrestling or BJJ or catch wrestling, you know, you tweak the needs of the technique to the individual and to the rules of the tournament. And, you know, you get the result you need.
Yeah. It could be a hard sell. I mean, like, and the other thing is that reputation that you were talking about where it's like, you know, just being brutes and about, you know, strength and stuff. And I mean, I'm telling you, I'm like the furthest thing from that. I'm a freaking string bean, man. And, you know, I'm a lanky wrestler. And I mean, I look more like Hoist Gracie than I look like Ken Shamrock. And I think that, I think catch is more technical, in many, many ways, than a lot of what you see, at least on the Brazilian side of jiu-jitsu. I mean, guys like Billy and Carl, man, I mean, they really broke it down like to like the most minute little granular bits, you know. So I don't know. I that's probably the one to me that feels maybe the most unfair to hear from kind of the uninitiated, is that it's not a technical sport, or that it's a sport that favors, you know, muscly guys and stuff. It certainly helps. I mean, you know, all things equal, if you have equal skill, the more strength and power you have, the better. I mean, but, you know, in that regard too, catch is a real, especially if you've had any influence from Carl Gotch, the conditioning and strength training is freaking legit, you know?
Oh yeah. So I kind of feel like when I, at least from my perspective, you know, I've done a lot of seminars with some great jiu-jitsu guys, you know, my own professor included, you know, and they can be very conceptual and it can be really technical, but I've never had to dial in as much as I do in a catch wrestling camp or a catch wrestling seminar, because there is a massive amount of important detail, even if something as simple as the pivot. You know, like you don't realize how crucial it is to have a proper pivot.
Yep.
What the result can be just by putting your toe and your heel in the right place, and how much energy transfer you can get from that. And these guys, they don't understand, you know. But you know, as I happen to be a black belt in judo and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and you know, I'm a certified catch wrestler now with two organizations. For me personally, I know that catch wrestling has the most variety of anything that I do. And I know that when I have the opportunity to apply that in competition, my opponents, they feel that and they see that, because I'm doing things that don't even exist in the rules of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And they're made aware of that as soon as they know, oh my God, this guy can grab my chin and he can do that to my head, and he can do this to my face, he can do that to my arm, you know, like, or my leg. You know, these guys are used to playing by rules. We don't have any catch wrestling, at least very, very, very few rules. And so it's a whole nother level of grappling. And the more I've done it, the more I want to keep doing it. And it's absolutely amazing. And I'm really thankful to have the opportunity to learn from people like yourself and CeCe and John, who's the biggest influence on me right now. And you guys have really done a lot to help me help catch wrestling grow in Phoenix, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and you really grinded it out, because we when you came to the camp in San Diego, the last camp, because
dude, that was so tough. Oh my God, I was dying. I thought I was ready. Since then I've lost like 30 pounds for the next one. I'm like, no, I thought I was in shape. No, I learned my lesson, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an initiation thing, and I find that, like, you know, a lot of the people that are interested in catch are interested because of kind of the what I call the information asymmetry, and that is that there's so many, like, obscure, like, esoteric tricks and techniques and catch that people haven't even really scraped yet. From my observation of jiu-jitsu, it's like, you know, leg locks have been trendy for the last couple of years, and I'm like, man, just wait till they get into, like, pins and Nelsons and cradles and all this, and actually learn how to take people down on top of that. I mean, so the repertoire of catch is, like you mentioned, like you said, it's huge. There is so much technique. I think that there's also a challenge. You find, like, it's a very hard sell to get people who are used to like grappling without the gi and jiu-jitsu with the gi to really appreciate the pin. A lot of them kind of look down their nose at pinning, and I don't know. I mean, what's your view on the pin? I mean, are you using it? Because I see so many applications, especially if you're wrestling a jiu-jitsu guy, man, their knee and their head are really close together a whole lot of times, you know?
Oh, yeah. The pin is control, man. I mean, like, the pin is imposing your will. If I have somebody pinned to the ground, whether they're cradled or whether I just have them flat and I'm live toes, I'm stopping them from doing whatever the hell it is that they think that they want to do.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of power, a lot of physical power, a lot of psychological power. I'm obstructing your breathing. I'm taking away your will and ability to fight, and I'm doing what I want. You're on the ground on my terms, not yours. You're not pulling guard. You're getting stuck. That's what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And in addition, you can actually, what I think another thing people are missing out on, it is massively important for control. It also incentivizes you to have to play more of a top game. But, you know, a lot of these guys don't even realize, you know, especially if you learn the way that I did, you know, the Wade Chalice kind of style of pinning, it's a submission as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You definitely are asphyxiating people. When you're rolling them up into a small little ball and they're, you know, they're sucking on their kneecaps, yeah, there's nothing to do except suffocate.
Yeah, or your ribs are laying on their face. You give them a rib sandwich. I mean, it's like a choke, yeah. Plus all the weight of your face crushing down on their nose. And, I mean, I have more pinning it when done properly. It does hurt, like, as much as submissions. That's kind of why I came up with the branding for Pinisher as, like, an idea that a pin can also be a submission, you know?
Absolutely. And I think when I'm rolling with my students, they would certainly agree with that.
All right. Well, we're I'm talking to Gilbert Olivas. He is with Black Flag Jiu-Jitsu Club down in Arizona. And the website is just that. It's blackflagjiu-jitsuclub.com, right?
blackflagjiu-jitsuclub.com. And then our popular hashtag is hashtag BFJJC.
Okay, cool. Well, guys, hang on. We'll be right back. I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with Gil. Hang in there. Okay. All right. We are back. Gil, are you still with us?
I am here.
Okay. I've got Gil Olivas with us. He just won a big match down in Arizona, and with a double wrist lock. Billy Robinson's looking down, super stoked. And he also runs a big club, a big school, just outside of Phoenix. And what's the name of the city again, Gil?
We're in Glendale.
Glendale. Okay. How big of a city is that?
Glendale's massive, man. It's almost as big as Phoenix. But I happen to be in the downtown portion of Glendale, so It feels really, really small town when you're actually near the school.
Okay. Okay. Cool. And and then you said that you've got like a competition team with your club as well, right?
We do. Yeah. So the team in itself, like we for our regular competitions, we don't really separate competitors from non-competitors, because we'll send out a whole legion of guys. We know 30 to 50 competitors in the tournament when we decide we're ready to do that. But lately, what we've been doing is getting just a handful of guys to compete more in the submission only events, and that's kind of where I'm at. And I have maybe 10 students that are doing that with me at any given time.
I see. And how long has Black Flag been open?
We opened in March of 2014, so we just hit our 5 years.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. And then, so you also mentioned that you're a jiu-jitsu black belt.
I am a jiu-jitsu and judo black belt, yes.
So what was your path in jiu-jitsu? I mean, you said you started like what? Or, well, you were a blue belt in 2010. So what was how'd you get into grappling in general?
Okay, so it was pretty neat. So when I was actually in the Marine Corps, I was introduced to a Gracie jiu-jitsu purple belt who put a pretty good whooping on me. And so I started doing a few lessons with him kind of just here and there while I was in the Marines. So I was out of the Marine Corps by 2005. By about 2007, I was already looking around because I knew I wanted to do some kind of submission fighting, submission grappling. And I checked out, back then there was one Gracie Baja school out here. I checked them out, checked out a couple other places. I found one called the American Martial Arts Center and fell in love with that place. And they had basically like MMA grappling. They did jiu-jitsu, but it was really geared toward MMA. They had a really good MMA team. It was a small school. Jumped in on that, and I stayed with them for a couple of years before moving on to a Brazilian jiu-jitsu academy in itself. And then I kind of just stayed there. Ended up switching teams after a while. But I got started again in 08 officially in jiu-jitsu, and I've been running and gunning ever since, man.
So, and you're born and raised in Arizona?
I was actually born in California, but my entire life has been spent in Arizona, with the exception of when I was on active duty. I got a chance to travel and see quite a bit of stuff.
Ah, brilliant. And thank you for your service as well.
Thanks, man. I wouldn't do it again, but it was dope.
Yeah, I think we've all done things like that where we're stoked we did it, but damn, I don't know if we'd be doing that again.
Yeah, definitely not again.
Well, that is awesome. That is awesome. So, you never really dabbled anything on the pro wrestling side or anything like that. Just kind of the CC was the extent of that.
Oh, CC tried, man. He did. He did. Especially like once I knew that I wasn't going to do MMA anymore, because I'd also competed in that too. But once I knew that I was done trying to be a fighter, man, once it started getting kind of mainstream and I knew I was out of that shit, I started working out with CC, and he ended up helping me put on about 40 pounds of muscle, man. So like,
wow.
And then when he saw me growing, he's like, yeah, dude, we got to get you in the ring. You got to start doing some pro stuff. And you know, like, and much love to those guys, because now barely in my mid 30s, am I starting to become a fan of pro wrestling. It never was my thing, even as a kid. But I would have liked to have done it at some point, but now I'm getting a little bit older, and I'm not in my 20s, you know, with all this great muscle on me now. So, So yeah, I'm past that, but definitely I would have like the chance when I had the chance to get into it, man.
Well, the product has changed, you know what I mean? Because I did it for a while, and it was kind of like that Marine Corps thing you were saying. Like, I'm glad I did it, but I wouldn't do it again. It was, I mean, I've been grappling since 94, and nothing put the hurting on my body like pro wrestling, man. I am so busted up from just my 5 years of, you know, doing it professionally. But I think the product has changed. I think that, you know, because I used to not like the pro wrestling either, but I think the UFC has put a lot of pressure on pro wrestling to actually look better and to do a better job and maybe even look a little more real. Like, I don't think the big shows like the SmackDowns or whatever, they don't really care. They're going to make money, and they've been around forever. But, you know, you see these younger, smaller promotions like, NXT is great. I mean, that's still owned by WWE, but you watch some of those shows, and, like, you'll see Matt Riddle go out there, and it's like they're kind of shooting for a second. They're just not really finishing the holds. It's more like a drilling session. It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, actually, I was just hearing something about that recently, how the WWE is really needing to actually, I think I was listening to one of your podcasts, just how they're really needing to pick up their game or have had to compete with things like the UFC. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's absolutely correct. You know, it looks more real, you know, and I mean, these guys, now you're getting people that have legitimate, you know, fighting experience. You know, you have these former world champions coming into pro wrestling and they're really making it look more realistic, man. And that's creating a bigger fan base for professional wrestling. So I know for myself, at least, when Brock Lesnar went back into pro wrestling, man, I was kind of excited. I want to see who's going to beat the shit out of next. You know?
Right.
Before that, I didn't care at all before that, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think that there's like, you know, I know that WWE and UFC, they kind of publicly say that they're not competitors, but I really think that they are in a way because...
Oh, dude, yeah, they're mega businesses, man. They're definitely trying to take each other's money.
Well, think about it. Like, everybody who's like, well, not everybody, but a vast majority of the talent that WWE is using, especially on the main events for, say, WrestleMania, it's Brock Lesnar. It's Ronda Rousey. It's these Absolutely. People who are coming from a legit fighting background to come over there. And it's the exact same thing that happens with movies. You know, like, you see a lot of, like, well, you saw it more in the 80s, but you'd see fighters go over to action films, right? Because it was more believable if a fighter was actually doing it. And I think that's all pro wrestling is like, you know, it's theater in the round. It's just action theater instead of an action movie.
Absolutely. I mean, if you really think about it, the pro wrestling is using the same people that were having the same huge draws in fighting, you know. So like Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar, these guys were huge money draws. Even now, if Brock went into the UFC right now, they know he's a cash cow. They know they're going to make a ton of money because people want to see him whoop some ass. And, you know, they're going to take advantage of that in pro wrestling for sure. So it's a really interesting thing to see is that, you know, both organizations can maximize their own financial potential by using the faces of these people who have done well on both sides of that, whether it's actual professional fighting or, you know, professional wrestling.
Well, you know, and it's funny though, because it doesn't work so good the other way, right? Because clearly, like you're saying, there's money to be made trading back and forth. You know, like Brock Lesnar headlines WrestleMania. Well, now he's going to, you know, I think he's like the number one pay-per-view guy for UFC as well, like in terms of a draw. So it's like he's getting all this publicity and his name staying relevant in WWE. Then he goes over and makes UFC a ton of money. But it doesn't necessarily translate. I think you have to have legit grappling, like whether it's jiu-jitsu, catch as catch can, MMA, something like that, because you find these guys like... CM Punk.
I knew that's, yeah.
Oh,
that's
my God,
the first
dude.
Person I was thinking of.
That
Poor
is
God,
a,
man.
That's rough, dude. That is just a, like, to go in to a sport as hard as MMA with such a big name and so much expectation, dude. No, thank you. That's a rough
game. They hyped him up, man. That poor guy, he was set up to fail from the start, man.
Oh, that is a rough one. Gil, anything else you wanted to touch on with regards to your catch wrestling journey and, you know, anybody that's out there listening, cause I was just really excited and really proud of you, kicking ass, the way that you did and representing catch the way you did. I really appreciated that. Cause that's what we need is more people out there competing.
Thank you, man. And I'm going to keep pushing as much catch wrestling as I can. And especially now that I'm getting more into the sub-only type of competitions, you know, where it's just one-on-one, my plan and my intentions are to really create a catch wrestling versus jiu-jitsu. Because whether I win or lose, I want people to see what catch wrestling is and what it can do, and what it can do if I win, and what it can do to survive in the event that I'm not able to win. But I don't plan on fucking losing by any means. And what I would probably tell people, in addition to just please trying to support, you know, my cause in growing catch wrestling and bringing awareness to catch wrestling out here, is I would really tell people if they're not a part of an organization yet. I definitely felt that scientific wrestling was really friendly and kind of just opening, you know. So I would tell, I told my students as soon as I came back, there's no reason any of you guys shouldn't be trying to hit these camps. And so I'm trying really hard to get them to go out there, or, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe this year or next year, try to bring you out to Phoenix. You know,
that'd be great.
Yeah. My students, they're pretty familiar with John, but I want them to, you know, again, like you said, everybody kind of has their own style too, you know, and I want them to see, you know, that there's a reason that CC would talk about scientific wrestling so much. And there's a reason that I went out there, and as soon as I was able to attend that camp, man, I fell in love with the organization itself. And again, when they called my name out on Saturday, I was representing both Black Flag Jiu-Jitsu Club and scientific wrestling. And
thank you.
And as long as I continue to compete, and that's the way they're going to call it out every time I walk out, man. So,
it's fair.
One of those rash guards, by the way, the one of those Cash World Order.
Yeah, the CWO.
Oh, I got to get one of those before the 29th, man. So I'll have to PayPal you some money.
Well, so the one thing is I try to give a brand new, I don't really say this, but this is actually what I do. Every time somebody comes to a camp, I always try to have a cool new design. And I thank you for wearing the design that the rash guard that you wore from camp. So every time somebody comes to camp, they're going to hopefully, if I keep it up, keep coming up with ideas, come away with a new rash guard design. But the CWO, yeah, that was a fun one. Actually, that was an idea that Kenny Lester, a buddy of mine, came up with. And I was like, man, I got to use that. He's like, yeah, go ahead. I was like, dude, that's brilliant. And one other thing. So, and I appreciate you, you know, talking about the camp like that, because I mean, it is hard. You said it was hard. I mean, it's catch wrestling.
It was the hardest thing. It was the hardest camp I'd ever attended from white belt to black belt in jiu-jitsu since I started catch wrestling. That was the most physically demanding thing I've ever done, especially while not being drunk, because I have gotten drunk in the middle of a camp before and had a sort of, like when I tested for my first journeyman with Snake Pit, I was totally drunk the whole next day trying to get through that test. And that was pretty damn hard, man. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And Joel and John, those guys can drink, man. So I was just trying to hang with them, you know. But especially Joel, he can drink. So, but yeah, that was definitely that camp, scientific wrestling, that 3-day camp was the hardest thing that I've ever done as a martial artist, for sure. But also the most rewarding. And I probably learned more small details than I'd ever learned in anything grappling related that I've ever done.
Well, that's what I'm going for. I want it not to be hard, but I want it to be something that it's doable. I mean, you know, if you go, you got to know you're going to work and it's going to be work, but it's doable. It's something you could do. But I really want it not just to be hard work. I want it to be even more than, you know, a good, solid camp in terms of effort. The technical details, and also like kind of the leadership skills. I really want people to step out and do like what the other graduates, like John, like Joel, and others have done that have attended camps, where they go and they start their own clubs. They start their own tournaments, because that is really like what we need, is we need more people practicing this sport as it is. We have a ton of people using catch in jiu-jitsu, a ton of people using catch in no-gi, and I support that. That's awesome. I'm so grateful. And catch in pro wrestling. But I would love to see more people holding catch-specific tournaments, just like how I started in 2007, and then John and Joel have both carried that torch.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I would like to try to do out here. Maybe not this year, but as I start to learn more of the business side of catch wrestling specifically, I think that's something on my bucket list that I would like to do. I would probably like to get a couple of more of my guys certified as catch wrestlers first. And I still have a little bit of time to do that before I start going that direction. But I think what'll end up happening out here, at least because it's not, there's not a lot of catch wrestling here, is I would like to make it again, catch wrestling versus jiu-jitsu. So basically Black Flag versus the World, man. And that, at least that's how I'll get my start out here, at least with, you know, with trying to throw tournaments. And again, it's on my bucket list, man. I'm not in a rush. You know, I got time to do it. But that's a goal for sure, especially after talking to you about that before. I mean, right before we left California, you had mentioned, do these tournaments, do whatever you feel like you need to do to grow it. And that definitely has resonated with me since we had that conversation.
Well, I mean, you're certainly kicking ass and you ain't afraid of putting in work, and you're a smart guy. You're making it happen. So I'm a huge fan, and I'm really, I just wanted to give you a huge congratulations on your win and on your success with your club too.
Well, thank you, Coach. I mean, I'm getting it from you guys, so I appreciate all the work that you guys are showing us, and all, again, the leadership and the guidance. You know, it's coming from my teachers, from my coaches, man. And I wouldn't be who I am without the influence that you guys put on us and on me.
Well, thank you so much. So, guys, check out Gil. Do you have footage of the fight? Is it of the match? Is it up anywhere on social media?
I have a couple of students took it on cell phones. I'm still waiting for the organization to release the videos and the pictures, all the media that they took. So I'll have that posted all over my social media before long. Once it's made available, I'll make sure to tag Scientific Wrestling and Old School Grappling and whoever else I need to, and make sure that I can get that footage out. Again, it wasn't the most exciting thing. The guy kind of ran from me for a few minutes, but once he decided to do some jiu-jitsu shit and pull guard, man, you know, he went into my world, and then, you know, I took his arm for it. But again, respect to the guy. He was just doing what he knew how to do and made me chase him pretty long, but I got what I wanted.
Yeah, so guys, if you want to keep in touch with Gil, his website is blackflagjiujitsuclub.com. And then Gilbert Olivas, it's just Gilbert. That's not hard. I'm not going to spell that for you. But Olivas, Olivas, on social media. Thanks, Gil. I really appreciate your time, brother.
Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you here pretty soon. I'm going to be out there in California again pretty soon.
Okay, awesome. All right, guys. Talk to you next time. Thanks, Gil.
Thanks.